Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. It's a new feature on Northland Morning featuring Minnesota authors talking about their work. This week, we've got Sarah Stonich on the line. Her book, Vacation Land, is a collection of loosely interconnected tales that pivot on one geographical point, a resort up north. Sarah, good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Hi, Lisa.
So I asked you if you could find a little excerpt from the book to read to kind of give folks a taste of what it's like, and we're going to be talking about it a little bit, and I'm fascinated with just the mechanics of how you wrote this. But first, let's hear a little bit from Vacation Land.
Okay, I've chosen something that features more of the locals rather than the visitors who are staying in the cabins, so I think I'll just start with that. Aspiring student reporter Stephanie Swifthawk is in the honors program at Hatchet Inlet High School. Her radio interview assignment is worth a third of her grade in media today. She hopes to plump up her digital audio resume because she's applying for the summer session at the School of Broadcast Journalism in Minneapolis. Mr. Mackey had instructed students to seek persons with interesting occupations, histories, or talents, interview them, edit the piece, and post it on the school's podcast with the best of them to be aired on the local public affiliate, WSKW. Unfortunately, while other students were off scrambling to line up interviews, Tiffany was down for 2 days with strep and a fever, and by the time she was back on her feet, pickings were slim. It's not like Hatchet Inlet is a hotbed of notable individuals. There's the oldest living resident, Ursa Olson, who has a mouth like a sailor and so not so great for radio. The topiary man kids call Alto Scissorhands, who hardly talks at all. The identical Capilouan twins out at the Musher Dog Sled Resort, the stump sculptor bartender Chainsaw Sally, and Annie Littlebow, the medicine woman and old-timey midwife. By the time the antibiotics had kicked in, all were taken, even creepy Wolfman Willie, which left the sheriff, the mayor, and others even more uninteresting. Anyone from the reservation was out of the question. Tiffany isn't about to interview some creaky, slow-speaking elder. She wants out of Hatchet Inlet, not deeper in. Tiffany clomps into Pavla's diner, shedding snow from her mukluks. There was Meg the painter, sitting at the counter, the lady her uncle rents a cabin from. Tiffany unzips the top of her banana-yellow snowmobile suit and slides, half-peeled, onto the stool next to Meg. Meg, nice as always, asks how she is. Tiffany tells, describing the assignment, dramatizing her failure to procure a decent interviewee, and the unfairness of it all. So distraught that a little projectile of spit punctuates her complaint. The wet BB arcing over the crust of the meat pasty Meg is fortunately just finishing. Without missing a beat, Meg lays down her fork and takes up a knife to cut her wedge of cake in half, pushing the dessert plate towards Tiffany. After a Coke and the cake, Tiffany revives some. Looking at Meg anew, she pauses. Hey, you are someone, right?
Wonderful. The book is, as we mentioned, it is a collection of loosely interconnected stories. Why the resort as the place, where as the point where all the stories intersect?
Well, I wanted the resort to be the focal point. I wanted that to be where all stories sort of spoke out from and returned to. And I initially, when I had was laying the manuscript out, I had each chapter a cabin number. The title of each chapter was a cabin number. And I eventually did change that because I realized that I couldn't have just summer people. That the book was probably more about everyone else who lives in the town, the population, and the people who support the resorts, you know, the bait shop owners and the gas people who are pumping gas and selling groceries. And I wanted them to be interacting as well. So I thought a resort was sort of the perfect vehicle for that.
It really is. And it's obviously, it's not contrived at all. Folks will really be fascinated because you find yourself drawn into each story, and then all of a sudden a character will pop up and you'll go, oh yes, that's right, I remember them from perhaps a story previous. I was just fascinated about the mechanics of writing something like this. Did the stories come first? Did the characters come first? Did a situation that you'd like to write about come first? And then did it naturally lead to another? Or did you have to, almost draw a sketch, this story, and then it leads to this one this way? And then how did you originally begin constructing it?
Well, I knew that I wanted them to be interconnected because I wanted the book to be interactive for the reader. And hopefully, I think that's happened, because you'll read one story and then, two or three stories later, that character will pop up again. And that happens over and over, and sometimes it's going back into the past and sometimes it's the present. But I wanted to have this weaving. How I did it mechanically, it was probably more organic than anything that I set out to do. I just brought in the characters when it seemed like they should be there. And the one character who goes through it all, Meg, knows every one of these characters.
So she and the resort are kind of a thread that go through. When you think about the book or talk to people about the book who aren't familiar with it, do you see it as a novel or do you see it as a collection of short stories?
You know, that's interesting, because my publisher, the U of M Press, the advanced reader's copy, which I have in my hand, on the front, it says a novel. And they had made that decision. And when I saw that, it bothered me, because I wanted readers to decide for themselves what it was. I didn't see it specifically as a novel, and I don't really see it specifically as individual short stories. Even though they stand on their own, you can take one out, and some have been published by themselves and in other places, in anthologies and magazines. So they do stand on their own, but when put together, they create a whole, and that's kind of, I was happier with it not being called a novel, so that was taken off the cover. So I think, Lisa, you should decide what the book is.
Everyone will get to decide for themselves, which is a lovely thing.
I hope so, yeah.
Now, that being said, it's kind of dark.
I hear that, but I guess I'll defend that by saying life is dark. Northern Minnesota is dark. But there's also, I think, a fair bit of humor in the book. It may be more of a Scandinavian sort of humor.
And that's maybe part of it. And when I say it's kind of dark, it's simply an observation without a judgment attached to it. And I wondered if this was a conscious decision that you made to give it a certain kind of a tone, or if, again, it comes out of kind of a Scandinavian sensitivity that, it's one hardship after another, and yet we just have a stiff upper lip and, trudge right on and have another forkful of lutefisk and quit griping.
Yeah, I guess I was really trying to just portray reality, and I do think that my writing in particular, I swing dark. I'll say that.
Now, what comes next, Sarah? What are you working on next?
Oh, I have a number of things. I'm working on a series of books under a different name, Anam the Plume. And I'm also working on another Minnesota novel, this one being more of a family saga, and it's multiple generations. And that one is called American River, and that takes place beginning in 1968 and ending in 1989 during the AIDS crisis in New York. And so that's very different for me. Most of the book does take place in Minnesota, but also on other rivers. It's on the Mississippi and Minnesota, and New York it's on the Hudson, and other cities it's on other rivers. So it also has sort of a thematic thread that ties through, and in this case it happens to be rivers.
Well, I hope we have the opportunity to talk again, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It was just wonderful.
Okay, I hope to see some of you in Moose Lake. At 6 o'clock this evening, I'll be at the library there.
Absolutely. We're good. We'll make sure that folks have the information. Once again, Sarah, thanks so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Sarah Stonich is the author of Vacation Land. She'll be reading from her work and signing books this evening at 6 o'clock at the Moose Lake Public Library. Minnesota Reads is supported in part by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.